From Los Angeles, California, from our house to your house, you're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web. And tonight, we're going to be talking about all kinds of different things. And if this is your first time that you're listening to the show, then you don't know. Nah, you don't know. You don't know that when you listen to this show, you turn the lights down low. Yes, yes.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Block, your love doctor, your mother confessor, your ever so slightly twisted little sister, your pleasure preacher, brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners. And I want to talk to you about pleasure and your problems with your pleasures and the great pleasure that we get out of talking about your problems. It's always pleasurable to hear about other people's problems, so we're happy to talk about yours. And we don't charge you a thing. It's absolutely free. Mostly we talk about sex problems and pleasures, although we get into other areas as well here on Radio Suzy One. We're broadcasting live on drsusanblock.com. That is my main domain. And that's where you can always hear the show, 11 o'clock Pacific time to midnight, approximately, more or less. We also broadcast on Skype, and so you can always find us there. Not always, but, you know, often enough that it's worthwhile to check around for us if it's 11 p.m. on any night of the week except Sunday. And I have in my studio tonight Brother Dave, my engineer.
Good evening, Doctor.
And Terry, our community manager.
Sister Terry,
how's it going?
It's been a very, very long day.
Okay, well, it's about to be longer.
Productive.
It's getting longer and longer.
They always do.
Yeah, well, and we might even go into the next day here.
Fabulous.
Because, you know, one day flows into another. And if you're out there and you'd like to give us a call, if you'd like to talk about your sex life, your love life, politics, religion, the economy, orgasm, our number, if you're listening to us live in the North American continent, you can call us at 1-866-289-7068. And if you're anywhere else in the world, you can always reach us on our regular number. We do have some international numbers, but I'm not sure which ones are working right now. And so just call our regular number, which is 213-749-1330. And if you're in Skype, you can put yourself into the waiting room, and we will put you into the talking area. And we've been having a meeting tonight. We had a pre-spring equinox Purim Bacchanal meeting tonight, getting ready for our big show, relatively big. Not as big as Eros Day, but bigger than these little radio shows, big enough that we're going to have some television cameras there. And we'll get dressed up, as opposed to right now when we won't tell you what we're wearing. But we're going to be dressed up in all kinds of exciting lingerie and Middle Eastern exotica. We're going to have a kind of a harem belly dancing theme, hopefully. You never know, of course. The show has a life of its own, and sometimes I just try to kind of make it do what I want it to do, and then it just does what it wants to do. Kind of like a wild animal. But the idea, you know, you always have to go in with a plan. The best laid plans may not get you laid the way that you planned, but you got to go in with a plan. So the plan is a Middle Eastern sort of belly dancing theme. It is going to be the holiday of Purim.
Purim.
You know about Purim?
I know all about Purim.
You know all about Purim? Tell me what you know about Purim.
What I know about Purim? Oh, it's been a really long time.
Well, it's a story. It's based on a story, right?
It is based on a story.
What's the story?
The Grand Queen Esther.
Queen Esther is the star of the story.
Queen Esther is the star of the story.
In fact, this is one book of the Bible that they name after a woman. I think there might be another one, the Book of Deborah. But there's not too many. And this one is called Megillat Esther, the Book of Esther. So what else? Do you know about Purim?
Purim. It is a test. Well, there is the villain of the story, and
the
Haman
villain.
Is the villain of
Haman
the story.
Haman is the villain.
Is his
very
three-cornered
good.
Hat. I remember eating his three-cornered hat as pastries as a little Jew in my Jew school.
As a little Jew. Well, now that you're a big Jew, we're going to have those pastries also at our Purim Bacchanal, except there'll be some naked people running around. That probably
fantastic.
Didn't happen at your
That's,
at your
Oh, being
Jew
an adult
school.
Jew has its perks.
Yeah, well, not too many adult Jews, I think, go to this kind of Purim party. I think it's a little bit unusual. However, there is a Purim tradition. They say that you are supposed to drink a lot on Purim. Now, of course, a lot of Jewish holidays feature a lot of drinking.
Many Jewish holidays
Passover,
feature.
Passover, you have to drink at least four cups of
is
wine.
Is it Purim yet?
It's almost Purim.
It's almost
okay,
Purim.
I'm going to have a drink.
Okay.
Okay, I can't
in
wait.
Celebration of Purim. In premonition of Purim. Yeah. Foreplay
exchange,
for Purim.
Exchange of gifts on Purim.
But yet, well, the gift thing is not such a big deal. And I don't think you do much gift exchange.
It's not like a Christmas or Hanukkah gift
no,
exchange.
No,
sharing.
You know, it's a lot of drinking. You're supposed to drink so much that you don't know the hero of the story, who is, remember the name of the hero?
Mordecai.
Because, of course, they have to say the hero is a guy. Although Esther is kind of the hero. But Mordecai is her cousin, who's also kind of her pimp. But we'll get into that in a minute. But you're supposed to drink so much that you don't know the hero of the story, Mordecai, from the bad guy, who is Haman.
Haman.
So it's supposedly the holiday where you're supposed to get the drunkest. I mean, it's not as though you're supposed to get drunk on Passover, although a lot of people do, or Hanukkah, or some of these other Jewish holidays. But you are supposed to on Purim. Now, somebody just came up on Skype saying, so long to prohibition. Interesting, we're talking about drinking, and he's from China.
All right, brother.
Ryan in China.
Hooray for Mao Zedong.
Has said, so long to prohibition, but he wrote to me, he says, what are you doing at 10:55? I didn't write back, so at 11:25 he wrote, fuck you.
All right.
So I don't know if I want to support him.
Yeah.
But he says, so long to prohibition. That's
okay, that's good. That's good.
Okay.
So long to
you know, that's not very polite. I must say to you all that when you write to me personally, although I appreciate your sentiment and your motivation, I'm not going to write back to you. So you can call me a bitch. You can, you know, you can just feel bad about yourself and get all tied up in knots about it. But just understand that this is a show. So when we invite you to be on the show, you know, join me live is what we invite you to do to come to the Skypecast. You're supposed to come into the Skypecast, put yourself into waiting if you want to talk. It's not a private kind of situation. So say no to prohibition. Was looking for a little private conversation. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't what it's about. So it's about community. All right.
Community.
That's right. Paul is in waiting.
Global gobble.
Hello, Paul.
Hi, you all. It's very nice to be with you again.
Nice to be with you again.
I thought that so many people are there, and nobody's coming up. So I said I go up and say hello. And it was just another show where we were talking about you, Susan. And I think most people like your show because it's a very good show. It's not like the stupid other things shows. There are things what people like and maybe dislike, but I think you have a great show, you too. I like it.
Thank you very much. Where were you talking about us? Was this on another show?
What was it? Yeah, it was. No, it was on the on one cast. I cannot tell you where now, but yeah, your name was there too, so you
okay.
must have been there, or somebody. Yeah.
So, someone imitating us.
Someone imitating. It was my shadow.
And I invited some people down there in the listening. They are here already.
They are here.
They did haven't been here. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to embarrass them to say the names, but
no.
They are listening, and
that's later when we embarrass them. Yes.
Yeah, I told them you have a good show and they should join and listen.
Uh-oh.
Sometimes it's very good, but it depends always on the people you have.
Ah, I
of
see.
Course.
Sometimes it's good, only sort of good. Sometimes it's
very good. Yeah.
Sometimes it's just kind of okay. Okay, well, I appreciate your evaluation.
That's
honest.
That's all things in life. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's
very good. And sometimes
very good.
Sometimes
it's very good.
Kind of not so
good. Sometimes it's very good.
Yeah, how about you? What do you think of the shows in which Brother Dave and I quarrel? Is that one of the very good or not so good? Remember those? We haven't had one of those for a while.
You haven't heard one of those, huh?
Yeah, we've been getting along lately, but we have had those in the past. Just wondering how those come across. When we talk about politics, we're not really arguing seriously. But
yeah,
we do argue a little bit about politics. You're not a big fan of the argument shows, I can see.
I don't think he's ever
I don't know
one.
If you've heard one of those.
No,
I don't even think I've heard one of those. I wonder if I could instigate anything really interesting.
No, don't try. They're very sort of tense. I got all these people calling me and knocking me off of it.
Don't call.
No, don't call, please. Please just put yourself into the waiting room. That's the whole idea here. We talk together. You don't talk to me privately.
Yeah.
And Paul will disappear, and you have a free chair there. But as there is nobody there, I sit on my chair here and try
sit
to
on your
participate
chair.
A little.
That's right. It's, we're coming up on a new show. It's going to be the Spring Equinox. And we're also going to celebrate the Jewish holiday of Purim. Have you ever heard of Purim?
No, I have been in Israel several times, but
really?
You tell me what it is.
Well, tell me first, what were you doing in Israel several times?
Well, I was living in Cairo for more than 7 years, and I drove with the car there to Tel Aviv and the Red Sea and to Arad and Masad, and I went to Jordan, to Petras, and so on.
Oh, wow. Yeah. When was this?
Oh, that's a long time ago. It's 20 years ago.
Uh-huh. 20 years ago.
It was
quite different. Maybe a little more peaceful, I guess. 20 years ago.
Well, I think so. I think it was more peaceful than now.
Yeah.
But I loved it. You know, the thing is, when you go from Egypt on the border to Israel, then you will find on the border this time. I don't want to insult somebody. The border was very dirty on the Egyptian side. And not modern. And you go with the bus 1 minute and you are on the next border station of Israel. It was like you're in a 5-star hotel, you know. And that was, of course, opening your eyes. And when you went out, then you see all these culture places where they made forests and grass. And so I was impressed, actually, very much there. I liked it very much.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, I must admit I had a similar experience when I was there many years ago. For whatever reason, for various reasons, I guess, Israel has more of a bustling economy and more money to spend on making it seem like a 5-star hotel. I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, I'm sure I'm going to be insulting somebody right now. I can just feel it. I can't even open my mouth without... knowing.
I love Egypt. I don't want to say anything against it.
Oh,
I live there.
Sure.
I have friends.
Egypt is an incredibly historical country.
Mm-hmm. It's just what it is, you know.
Right.
I mean, you
it's dirty and poor.
Would you like to insult someone in a louder way? Is that what you'd like to do now, Brother Dave? Let's insult all the Egyptians.
I'm sorry. They say that about Naples also, and I'm Italian, so it's
that's
okay.
Right. They do say that about all of Italy, as a matter of fact.
Right.
Dirty and poor.
Dirty and poor, and, you know, I mean, I was...
And it's not true. It's not all dirty, and it's
Egypt
not
has the pyramids,
poor.
And they're very clean.
There's a lot of dust on them.
You know, the pyramids, I went there up, I mean, I had visitors, in Egypt when I lived there. I brought him at 5 o'clock to the pyramids, and we climbed up. You cannot do this these days anymore.
Oh no!
Right.
The guns there already, and they said you cannot go. I said tip when I come down, and they were so dumb that I think they knew when you come down you don't give. I have plenty pictures on Cheops Pyramid when I stay there when the sun comes up. It's a fantastic thing.
Wow!
It's dangerous, you know, to go up, but it's nice. But you cannot do that anymore.
No, you can't do
that. No, no. It's like when I climbed up the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. You can't do that anymore either.
As a matter of fact, today...
You're not allowed to do that anymore?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
Well, you never were allowed to do it. You couldn't. You weren't allowed
sneak up there?
When I snuck up there. But, there were ways to do it. Now they've closed off all the ladders.
Actually, today you can't climb on anything.
No. Without a permit.
We're in a very advanced state of fascism.
Hmm.
No climbing.
Susan. Yes, Paul.
Susan.
Yes.
You wanted to explain me what is Jewish.
Oh yes, Purim. Right.
Purim.
Back to Purim. Well, Purim is a very kind
story.
Of
Jewish
porn story. Well, not exactly.
They didn't teach me that in Hebrew school.
No, but there is a kind of a sexy. Aspect to Purim. It's a sexy holiday.
It is a sexy holiday.
First of all, you have all the drinking, which we were discussing in detail and also demonstrating a little earlier, right? The drinking. Brother Dave is now slurping. There we go.
Okay,
so you're supposed to do a lot of that. And then there's the dressing up. In a way, Purim is like a Jewish Halloween. A
lot of masks. A
lot of costumes, and there is a Middle Eastern flavor to it. The holiday is based on a story that's in a book called The Book of Esther that takes place in Persia, of course, modern Iran. But in those days it was called Persia, and there was a big kingdom in Persia that was run by King Ahasuerus. And there's actually some historical evidence that this king existed. And therefore, perhaps a shred of reality to this story.
Unlike Jesus.
Unlike, say, the Garden of Eden or something, or I don't know. There's a lot of things in the Bible, in both the Old and New Testament, that has no relationship to reality or to history. But King Ahasuerus was supposedly this king who ruled 180 provinces from India to Ethiopia, and, of course, including the land we now call Israel or Palestine. And all the Jews, a lot of the Jews were kind of evacuated and sent to other parts of the kingdom because they didn't want them all kind of together because they were afraid of terrorism, I guess, or rebellion.
Terrorism.
And so they broke them up and sent a bunch of them to the capital, which was called Shushan. So anyway, so there's some Jews in the capital. So, you know, I mean, that's what the Old Testament is doing there in the first place. So Ahasuerus is this very jolly sort of king. And he has a big party. And, you know, I mean, we think we have big parties now. But this was the mother of all parties. This was a six-month party with eating and drinking and constant carrying on for 6 months. And then... in the last week of it, he had the highest ranking princes all gather around with him in his rec room or whatever, you know, they called it in the palace back then. And they were all extremely drunk after 6 months of partying. And he called for his wife, who was named Vashti, Queen Vashti, and asked her to come before himself and his princes in her royal crown. Now, when I was in Hebrew school, we learned in her royal crown meant wearing nothing but her royal crown, which meant that Vashti was, of course, supposed to parade naked before all the princes. And she didn't want to. You know, she was kind of an early feminist, I guess, and she just didn't want to do it. She just said no. And this was, you know, not allowed. You couldn't just say no to the king, even if you're the queen. And so the king, you know, he was pretty upset, and his advisors said, you know, you got to get rid of her. And some translations say that that means she was banished or perhaps beheaded. Here at the Speakeasy, when we do the Purim show, we generally put her up on the cross and whack her a lot.
Mm.
So that's Vashti. Mm. So with Vashti gone, now the king needs a queen. So the princes say, all right, you need a virgin, obviously. They all needed virgins. They had a big virgin fetish back then.
Yeah.
You know.
Nuts, yeah.
Yeah, you have a virgin. You're not
okay
with the virgin fetish, Paul?
No.
It's a biblical thing, too. They always want virgins.
Yeah, always a virgin.
Yeah.
I know,
pure.
They do still.
They do still. That's
sure.
True. They do still.
Greeks,
so anyway,
too. Greeks, too, were big on the Vestal virgin.
You know, it's kind of a universal
it
problem.
Is.
Okay, I say if you're into the virgin fetish, just get someone to pretend they're a virgin. But anyway,
I was living there, when they told me, you know, they said, well, and they came up with this and came with crazy stories, and they had always, they wanted to screw at least 10, 20 women before they marry, and then they want a virgin. I said, how do you calculate, you idiot? And I said to them, and if they annoyed me too much, I said, well, if you ask me, I want a woman with experience or a virgin, I take the one with experience. They said, Paul, you must be crazy, you must be sick.
Really?
It may be.
You must
yeah
be sick.
They thought I'm nuts. They thought I'm nuts. Yeah.
For
yeah
wanting a woman
right
who knows what she's
now
doing.
Now, was this the Egyptians or the Israelis or both?
Yeah. Oh, no, Egyptians.
Oh,
Egyptians.
Okay.
Egyptians.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
So anyway, so the, you know, the virgins. So they have a bunch of virgins. It's a greater, you know, Persian beauty contest. They have them come from all over the kingdom. There's a guy named Mordechai. He's the hero of the story.
Blessed
he's a Jewish
Mordechai
guy.
Blessed is Mordechai.
Blessed is Mordechai.
Blessed is Mordechai.
Okay. What, did you learn that in Hebrew school?
I did.
Okay.
I did learn that
blessed
in Hebrew school.
Baruch Mordechai. So, Mordechai, he's kind of a shrewd guy, you know, and he figures, let's enter my beautiful virgin cousin, whose Jewish name was Hadassah. But he said, don't tell him your name's Hadassah. Don't tell him you're Jewish, you know. And I guess, you know, she looked like a shiksa, so she could pose. So she was Esther, and she entered the contest, and she won. Ahasuerus thought she was the hottest, and he married her. But this was no big deal, of course, because he has a harem with, like, hundreds of wives. So they put her in the harem and they beautify her and rub her with ointments and probably teach her how to give a good blowjob and, you know, stuff like that for like 6 months. And they're in the harem. Well, what do you think they do in the harem?
That's exactly what they do.
So she's probably a dirty girl hanging out in Egypt or wherever, you know, in the dust, and they had to clean her up.
Susan, have you been in a harem once?
Have I?
You have all these insights?
You know, yes. I feel like I have, but I've never been in a real harem. I've created a harem in my speakeasy, but I have to admit, I'm just a very sheltered Americano. I don't know what really being in a harem is like.
I think you run your own harem.
I kind of do
you
that.
You kind of run your own harem, but you're not really part of one. You lead the pack. You lead the harem.
And I have a lot of diaphanous curtains. That's very necessary in a harem, is all the sort of the hangings, the wall hangings, right, and hookahs, right. So anyway, so just, you want to hear the rest of the story?
Please.
Yeah? Okay. So she's now beautified and schooled in the arts of sex by the eunuchs. They all have eunuchs, all the harem girls. The eunuchs are these pre-op or post-op transsexuals.
That's not an operating system, by the way.
No. E-U-N-U-C-K-C-H. These are post-op transsexuals. Of course, the operation is not necessarily voluntary. But sometimes it is. But I guess usually they just get these guys that, you know, slaves, they cut off their testicles and they become eunuchs. It's really kind of brutal, but there were a lot of them. You know, it was a whole kind of career to be a eunuch. And then you could work in the harem and the king wouldn't be jealous of you because no matter how, you could go down on the girls, you could have them, you know, play with you, but, you know, of course you're not going to, you're shooting blanks if you're shooting
right.
anything. So the king is not jealous. So, okay, so they have these eunuchs, and they all teach Esther how to be hot. And the king just adores her, and just, he falls in love with her and makes her, like, the top wife. And that's all very good, but at the same time that this is happening, there's a couple of eunuchs that are plotting to kill the king. And Mordechai overhears this, and he tells the king, he tells Esther, actually, who tells the king. And, or she, I don't remember, wait a second, I think I might be getting this wrong. She tells the king, and the king writes it down in his journal that Mordechai the Jew saved his life. This will be important later in the story. At the same time, this guy Haman is the king's right-hand man. And Haman, he decides that he does not like the Jews because they will not bow down to him. Mordechai refuses to get on his knees and bow to Haman. For some reason, the king, I guess because he's drunk all the time, he doesn't care about this, but Haman, he is really bent out of shape about Mordechai not bowing to him.
Oh, he's all tied up in knots about it.
Oh, yeah. So he goes to the king and he says, you know, this guy Mordechai, all these Jews and all their accountants.
Is disrespectful.
They're bad. They're bad, bad, bad for Persia. So we gotta eliminate them. They're really bad. They take all the good jobs, and they have loud voices. They won't bow down. And so Ahasuerus says, okay, you know, let's get rid of them. You don't like them? You're my man. You're my drinking buddy. Let's get rid of them. So they issue an edict with the king's seal saying all the Jews are going to be killed in, like, I don't know, a couple weeks. So Mordechai hears about this, and he is very upset. Not for himself, of course, because Mordechai is, like, this hero, but because all of the Jews are going to be killed. And so he tells a eunuch to tell Esther. And Esther, at first, she doesn't want to hear about it. She says, well, you know, what can I do? I'm just this little Jap, and, you know, I just am a harem girl. And he says, hey, you know, you might think you're assimilated, but, you know, that the king, once he finds, he doesn't know you're Jewish, actually, but you might be found out, and then you'll be killed, too. And so she goes, oh, okay. And she's like, whoa, wait a second. Well, maybe I should do something about this. So she thinks, okay, I gotta do something. I got to talk to the king. So she prays, but she doesn't actually pray to God. She just kind of fasts. She more or less does a kind of yoga. And interestingly, in the whole book of Esther, the word God does not ever come up. God does not make an appearance. And maybe that's why we drink so much on Purim. But anyway, back to Esther. She then goes to the king's court. Now, it's very dangerous to go to the king's court when you have not been invited, even if you're the king's favorite, because whoever you are, it doesn't matter. If the king doesn't want to see you, he has you beheaded. That's it.
Nice and barbaric.
Oh, quick, easy, chop, chop. So,
final.
So, Esther goes to the king, and the guards, they immediately see her. They know she doesn't have an appointment, so they take her away to be beheaded. But the king sees that it's his favorite wife, and he holds out his scepter. And this gesture of holding out your scepter as a king, that's what frees her. That's she's not taken away to be beheaded. And it's always, I find this a very erotic passage in the Bible, that Esther touches the tip of the king's scepter. I don't know if anybody else finds that erotic.
Is it really the scepter?
I believe the scepter is, it does not say that she strokes it, nor does it say that she sucks it, but this is the Bible we're talking about. At least it says that she touches it. And it is a phallic object. This is a long pole that does nothing but look like a dick.
He pulls his penis out of his robes.
That's Brother Dave's interpretation.
Today he would be prosecuted.
Right.
Even if he was king.
Even if he was king, because... wait a second. This is his wife we're talking about. It's not some intern. Okay, so he holds out his scepter. She touches it. You know, in my production, she'll probably suck it. But anyway. He says, Esther, what do you want? Because, of course, you know, she wants something. Let's not beat around the bush here. And she says, I want my king to invite you to a dinner that I am going to have tonight. And the king says, great, let's do it. In fact, let's do it, you know, in an hour. And she says, you and Haman. And he goes, great, you know, I always like to have a drinking buddy on hand when I'm going to be having wine, women, and song. So, sure. So he invites Haman. Haman's delighted. This is a big, important invitation. He doesn't know that Esther is Jewish. And Esther wines and dines them, and I believe must blow both of them, you know, just really must, you know, because they're both really
that's
just...
Not, back then, it could have been a whole orgy.
Version, no?
Excuse
me?
This is my version. In the Bible, it just says that she has a special banquet. A banquet.
Okay.
A private, they call it a private banquet.
Yeah, right.
That she has for the king and Haman.
That's
And the king gets down on his knees, okay, before Esther. He is so excited, and he probably goes down on her, but then he says to her, Esther, what do you want? Whatever you want, I shall give it to you. Even if you want half of my kingdom, it's yours. I just adore you. You are the greatest cocksucker I've ever had.
It must have been
something like that. So Esther says, what I want is for you to come back tomorrow night. Esther's a big tease, you know. She really knows how to play her potentate like an instrument. So, of course, the king is in a tizzy. He's just so excited. He's got royal blue balls. He can't sleep. And that night, he asks one of his eunuchs to read to him from his diary. And he reads to him this passage from that day that Mordecai had saved his life by reporting that those eunuchs were plotting to kill him. Remember that day? Right. So this comes back. And the king says, oh, you know what? I didn't reward this guy. I got to reward this guy. This guy saved my life. I mean, you know, that's pretty important. So... also that night, Haman is all excited. He's thinking, I am like in with the king now. I am like next to the king. And Esther loves me too. She gave me a blowjob, whatever, you know.
Give me a killer blowjob.
So he's all excited. He says, you know what? I don't want to wait for the day. The day is called Purim, the day that he's supposed to get the right to kill all the Jews. He says, I want to start killing them now. He says, especially Mordecai. I mean, you know, I don't have to wait for that day. I'm going to go into the king. I got the gallows set up in my backyard. I'm going to hang Mordecai from the gallows today, you know, and then we'll have a banquet tonight. It'll be great. So he goes rushing into the palace, and the king looks up. He goes, Haman, just the man I want to talk to. And Haman says, great. King, I want to tell you something I want to do. He says, wait. And he's the king, so Haman better wait. So Haman waits, and the king says, you know, I got a guy that I really want to reward. He says, what do you think I should do for this guy who is so... who's done some wonderful things for me, and I've really got to give him a great reward. And so Haman thinks he's talking about him. And he says, well, what you should do is have this guy go, you know, wear your robes and your crown and ride your horse through the streets of Shushan being led by one of your princes. So the king says, great idea! Fantastic idea, Haman. Brilliant. Love it. Love it. Gonna do it. You're gonna be the prince that's gonna lead Mordecai, the Jew, in my robes and my crown on my horse through the streets of Shushan. Haman just about plots, as they say in Yiddish, or had a heart attack.
Plots.
Yes, he was not... Mordecai, this is his enemy.
This is the guy that won't bow down.
Oh, yeah, this is the guy that won't bow down, and this is the guy he wants to kill. He thought he was going to hang him on the gallows that day, but it looks like he's not, because after all, much as he is the king's right-hand man, he is still not the king, and the king can have him beheaded, so he has to do what the king says. So he has to bite his lip and lead Mordecai, all dressed up in the king's robes and the king's everything, and lead him on the king's horse. This is where the little toy horse we have comes in. And he has to lead him through the town on the horse. And, oh man, he doesn't like doing this at all. But he's thinking constantly, it doesn't matter. On Purim, on the 14th day of Adar, I am going to
kill this motherfucker.
And I'm going to kill all his sons and all his relatives and all his relatives' accountants and everybody. All
those
them Jews. All those Jews are going to be dead meat all over the kingdom.
Cursed
from India to Ethiopia.
Cursed is Haman.
Yeah, well, he doesn't know that yet, though. He thinks he's just kind of having a bad day. But, okay, so now that's what you do when you hear the story. You're supposed to shake the groggers and curse Haman.
I feel like
stuff.
I should have one in my hand.
Yeah,
the story's getting me all worked up.
We have groggers. We have a grogger in the back. Should we get a grogger?
We should get it.
Here,
yeah,
keep talking. I'm going to get a grogger.
All right, well, this is...
I could have gone to get the grogger, but no. I'm the one that has to sit here and talk on the air.
In the meantime, you're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web, broadcasting from Los Angeles, California, from our house to your house.
I keep thinking about Hebrew school and my Rabbi Ben and how he would tell the story of Purim and just how much better it is hearing Dr. Susan tell the story of Purim. Esther, and the blowjob queen, Esther.
Okay.
So,
great story.
Where are we? Okay, so now when we say Haman, we go... God, that sounds like cockroaches. Not cockroaches. What does that sound like?
I don't know. Locust.
It sounds evil. Yeah. All right.
Much better.
Okay. So now, what happens? So Haman's led Mordecai through the street, but he's still hopeful. You know how... You know that feeling of hope? Haman has hope because he's got dinner with Esther and the king tonight. You know, he's still got the whole genocide on schedule happening, like in a week or so. This genocide is going to happen, and so, you know, he's happy. He goes to the banquet. Of course, Ahasuerus goes to the banquet, the king, and Esther. You know, I guess she must have all her harem girls come out and do strips and pole dances and lap dances and they all must really drive these guys wild, because the king gets down on his knees again and he says, Esther, my queen, my beauty, my gorgeous hot slut that I love, I'll do anything for you, anything at all, whatever you want. What do you want, Esther? Tell me what you want, please. He's on his knees, he's begging her. And now she says, directly, simply, my king, all I want is my life and the life of my people. That's all I want. Your life? What do you mean? You have your life. What are you talking about? She says, well, there's someone threatening my life and the life of my people. And... you know, I just want to live. And he says, who would do this? And she very slowly, meaningfully, dramatically points to... Where is the thing? Haman! Who's very drunk and lying there with harem girls all over him, probably.
Party's over.
Yeah. So the king says, oh, my God. I mean, he's shocked because Haman is his buddy. He loves Haman in a way, but he really loves Esther. So he doesn't know what to do. He really does not know what to do. He goes out onto the veranda to think a moment. And while he's going out to think, Haman is now freaking out. Hope has gone out the window. So he's just... I mean, he can't, he knows he's screwed. So he gets down on his knees and starts begging Esther for his life. He is just shaking her knees. He is putting his head, you know, on her feet, and the king walks in. What? Would you assault the queen in my presence?
Ooh.
Are you trying to go down on my royal pussy there while I'm out on the veranda? What is going on here? No! You are now going to be hung. And he has Haman taken away by eunuchs and hung on his own gallows that night. And of course, the genocide edict is revoked. And the Jews all celebrate. And that is the holiday of Purim.
We get drunk and eat a lot. Purim!
Yay! So it's a wonderful holiday. Now, I should say there's a bad part to it, a part that shames me as a Jew. It does. I love this story, and I would love to end it there, right there. But it doesn't actually end right there in the Bible. What happens in the story in the Bible is that not only are the Jews not killed, but they are given permission to, quote-unquote, attack their enemies. And what do they do? But they go out and slaughter a bunch of other people. I mean, you know, Haman and his sons, and that's kind of understandable. But then we get into slaughter of hundreds and thousands of people.
And
yes.
Do they go and break into stores and loot?
I guess. I mean, you know what? They don't loot. They don't
they
loot.
They don't loot.
No.
Right.
They
right.
make a point of saying they don't do the looting.
Oh, okay.
They just kill, which to me, I'd rather be looted than killed. Excuse me. But this is, you know, the Old Testament is just filled with these wonderful stories that end with just horrible murder and mayhem.
And then
this is one of them.
And we move forward, and there's Obama with great hope.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know where we got to.
From vengeful Jews.
Most of the story is a great story, and to me, it shows the power of sexual seduction and how we can use that power for more than just sex. I mean, which is kind of universal. You can use that power to save lives.
Save your ass.
Her power
save your ass
queen.
And save the ass of your friends and your community.
So that's the story.
Well, and I think the last part, the sad part, must have been when all of the guys on your show had their orgasm, and then the bad part is coming, the ending.
If they all had orgasms, then I think that they would be too cooled out to go killing each other. No, I don't know. I mean, I think that these guys that are running around doing the killing, they don't have enough orgasms. No, I don't know. No. Anyway, it is kind of a bummer the ending. But
it's a real downer from the "Let my people go." And
did you know about that ending, Terry?
Not so specifically. I think they kind of gloss right
they
on over
gloss
it.
They gloss over it. They
not,
do.
It's not really surprising.
And
it
takes several verses in the Bible. It's not like it's some little kind of afterthought. It's definitely a big part of it.
I don't exactly remember Queen Esther's blowjobs either, though.
Well, no, those are not actually. Those are my interpretation of the banquets.
Oh,
and
I much prefer to see it that way.
And the scepter, yeah. So what do you think, Paul?
So it's a good story. And you are organizing a show like this, or what was it?
Well, you know, here's the thing, is we have a show once every 8 weeks or so. And so this time it falls around that time. I mean, actually, the holiday of Purim is right on at that time. I think
it's
the 20th. The 21st.
Is it?
I believe it's
the 20th this year. The 21st is
the
equinox. Yeah, 20 March.
It's close enough.
The 14th day of Adar.
Is it also Easter?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
then I'll have to have Easter eggs, too.
It's Sunday. It's all-encompassing holiday of
Wow. Okay. Easter, too. I have to have an Easter bunny. Okay, I don't know. I do these shows. I have these ideas about how they're going to be, and sometimes, you know, I am able to realize at the most about 70% of my vision. So we'll see how much of my vision we realize. But yeah, I have the porn stars, and I'll try to have some belly dancers, and they play the different parts.
act out the story.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well, it's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Would love to be there, but can't make it.
Well, you can watch it. It'll be on drsusanblock.com live.
I know. Yeah.
So there you go.
Okay.
Okay, my darling.
Nice. Thank you for explaining to me and to maybe all the other people. Great story. Nice being with you. I hope somebody else come up and join and has another.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're gonna dig right
bye-bye.
Into him right now.
Someone with another.
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 Okay.
Another. Okay. Yeah. So that was a good story.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the Purim story.
I love the story of Purim. That was my favorite version.
Well, thank you. I mean, even the regular version is not bad.
It's a good story. It's always been one of my favorite holidays.
Pretty good story anyway, you know. But I know they have like a Christian version as well.
Adjust your microphone, Susan, because you're bending way over on it. And no, you have to use the thing up here, Susie. Up here.
I never know how to use this thing.
Just walk me through it, too.
It's driving me nuts.
Just unscrew it.
It's like this thing has these...
Unscrew it. It's so difficult.
Unscrew it. I can't.
Turn it. Turn.
Turn what?
This on the side here, Susie.
I don't know what I'm doing, though. I can't do it. I turn what? Turn.
Okay. Like this, yes. And then up, like that.
Okay.
Why am I the one that knew how to do that?
Because I'm just clueless. I think maybe probably most people could do it, but I cannot do this microphone.
I'm pleased I figured it out. I'm kind of
there's
bad.
There's something about this screwing.
All right, we got it. Okay.
That I can't do. I can only do certain kinds of screwing. Okay.
All right.
So where were we?
Your past Purim. Show.
Okay, we're nowhere. Okay, so now we're back to the show, and we've only got a few more minutes. So
we were late.
Okay, well, even so, I think
we
only
13 minutes.
That's only a few more minutes.
Yeah, 13.
Right. So okay, so we got Purim. We could talk about that. You could also talk about anything you want. Okay, so.
Well, basically, you've got 13 minutes. If you got anything to say. Say it now or forever hold your shit.
We're not saying that what you might have to say is shit.
No, hold it. It's your shit, but hold it.
Holding shit is very uncomfortable.
No, your shit, your stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. We don't want you to be uncomfortable.
Right.
But we're now going to look through the list of people.
Right.
I have someone that's called Love Sex 771. Let me see who this person is. Love Sex, of course, is in Arabic. It's in Egypt. Oh, my God. And there you called Egypt a dirty,
I didn't call it
poverty-stricken place.
That was Paul.
You and Paul. Right, I know. So Egypt here is offended, I'm sure. There's someone else named Peacemaker. Peacemaker in Canada.
I think we spoke to him.
Have we talked to Peacemaker?
Yes, I believe so. If not, it's okay.
Bedlam.
All right, come on up out of your little huts and talk to us. We just told you this whole story. You made us work.
I know, it made me work so hard, and they're just sitting there. They're just sitting there listening.
No questions.
Paul is back. He feels so
Paul
bad
is back.
For us. Paul is like our co-host here. Paul.
No. I have to. Yeah, maybe I could become it, but I have to say something right. There is maybe an Egyptian, and I didn't say Egypt is a dirty, filthy place. I said when I drove over the border, that was very.
It was cleaner.
The difference, otherwise, all these Egyptians will jump on me.
They'll be after
Paul. You're right, Paul. We have to clarify. You didn't say that Egypt was a dirty, filthy place.
Well, let me also clarify.
You just said that the border was dirty.
Let me also.
And then. Brother Dave said that it was a dirty...
No, I didn't say that.
Yes, Brother Dave.
No, I did not, no.
See, we're now going to have one of our famous fights.
It's dusty.
Okay.
It's very dusty.
Dusty.
Yes, this time.
Yeah, and there are people living on rooftops that have been living there for 30 years. Now, I don't want to insult anyone, but we have people living in the streets here, so it doesn't really matter. Each society...
Rooftops? Are you sure you're not thinking of Katrina?
No.
What do you mean, living on rooftops?
Let me explain.
Okay.
In Cairo and all over Egypt, there are people that are so poor that live on rooftops, on the tops of the buildings. Honest to God.
Right.
I read a whole story about it. They have dish TV, but they do live in shacks on top of the roof. So
I think that might be better than maybe living on the streets of downtown L.A.
I think it's a whole lot better.
To live on the roof.
Yeah,
rather
to live
on
the
roof in Egypt than the streets of downtown L.A.
Now here, if you're poor, you're not allowed to live on the roofs.
But how do they get food? They have to get off the roof.
No, they go to work.
Yeah,
they go to work
and they live on the roof.
They come home and they live on the roof.
What do? They have a
numbered addresses?
Maybe they could put a tent up there?
No, they build shanties.
Yeah.
Right on top. And they talk to each other from rooftop to rooftop.
And
because they don't have any telephones.
Whose roofs are these? I mean, if I have a house, could you get up on my roof?
No,
and I can't
but
do nothing about
on apartment buildings.
An apartment building.
On apartment buildings, there are whole settlements.
Huh.
Is there supervisors and management, or are they just kind of a group?
No, they're like squatters.
Squatters.
Right.
And this is in Egypt.
This is in Egypt.
Hmm.
Now, in Holland, it's better.
Yeah.
You listen to this, Paul? In Holland, there's squatters' rights. So if you don't live in your house, somebody could take it over.
Right.
What if you go on vacation?
Yeah, here, too.
Here, too. Really?
Yeah, if you have a house somewhere hanging empty around for some years, and you don't watch it, and somebody goes in and lives there for a while... He has the right to stay there. You cannot
right.
get it there.
Wow.
Yeah. I have a very good friend who's Dutch, Willem de Ridder. He's a Dutch artist. And he rented a house many, many years ago, but the landlord never came back. And so he has this beautiful three-story townhouse in one of the best areas of Amsterdam.
Yeah, that doesn't happen here.
And it's fabulous. Really, it's very nice. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's I think very correct in a way.
Are your friends still down there, Paul?
Where?
Down in the in
there
the listening.
Some are down. No, they left. You know, last time you wanted to take someone up, and it was an artist, and she was here again. You remember that show?
Right. I remember the show. And she snuck away again.
And she was there, but she was kicked out and wanted to come back.
She
and
was kicked out.
Now I don't think you can join anymore.
No, there's a lot of people too. That's what happens. A lot of people trying to join, and Skype is a great technology. And by the way, this is kind of a free thing that they do.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay for it. They're really a phone company. And, but, you know, they don't, the Skypecasts don't get as much attention as the telephone company. So we're kind of the bastard children.
There is now somebody here waiting.
I see that. All right, Paul. We'll let you go. So,
bye.
This, I believe, is a friend of Terry's here. Kyle Garcia.
Kyle.
What's
Hello.
Going on?
Been to the speakeasy.
I just wanted to say that, I agree with Terry. Like, I knew nothing about the whole equinox and stuff. The only thing I knew was about the South Park version of it.
The what version?
South Park had a little spoof of that.
Oh,
of
South
which
Park.
One? Of Purim?
It was they had the Jubilee. It's all these Jew scouts.
Jubilee, where all the Jews went to their little Jubilee camp and
Jubilee,
and they made macaroni pictures for Moses.
Right. And that reminds me of the Jew.
Wow.
The Jew-eat. You know about Jew-eat?
Juicy?
No, Jew-eat.
No.
No.
Jew-eat. Remember at Yale?
Jew-eat.
I was talking to the comedian, and I was hungry, and I said, Jew-eat? And he said, what kind of Jew is that?
It's terrible.
Jew-eat.
Jew-boo.
Jew-boo. Oh, boy.
Okay, so let's see. So what we were talking about? We were talking about how you didn't know about this story.
Yeah, and then you pretty much made it a really interesting and elaborate on it too. That was great.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, well, it's kind of it's right there in the Bible. Of course, yeah, you know, I interpret the banquet as being more of an orgy than perhaps others
might
interpret.
I think it probably was.
I would think.
It reminds me of like the, I don't know, the Achilles Patroclus type. You know, I think they all would have been on it. All of them, all
I mean,
at once.
After all,
a huge orgy.
It's going on in the harem.
Yeah.
The whole idea is when the king goes into the harem, he has to be in a sensuous, sexual state. You know, I just don't think they elaborated on that in the Bible. And keep in mind, the Bible that we now have is probably just totally just
censored.
Yeah, you know, it's not. It's. I don't. I think the original must have been much juicier.
I'm sure.
Well, like the Egyptians and all that, they had like a didn't lipstick be was invented for fellatio?
Yes, that's what they say. That
so that's like the whole area, you know. So
yeah, that lipstick was invented to
that's how you
paint the lips so that they would look like the vulva,
and also
and so,
so
that you could tell when you were walking the street
that you got a blowjob.
Yeah, you could see a woman like the, it was the hookers that
right.
would wear the lipstick to begin with.
But the guys had the lipstick on their dick, and they could say, "I got a blowjob last night." The guy said, "Oh, you
right.
didn't get no fucking
and
blowjob."
And if the wife saw it, you know, they were in big
and
trouble.
And they pulled their dick out and say, "Look, I got lipstick on here."
Yeah.
You know, why is that always something men can brag about? But women can't go around like, oh, I got my pussy eaten by so many men last week. Oh, it's great. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, so some places you can brag about that. You can brag about that at the speakeasy.
You can, and you should
yeah,
be able
that's
to.
Right, that's right. You can brag about that here. And you probably brag about that in the harem if it was done by eunuchs. I got
oh,
my
yeah.
pussy eaten by 12 eunuchs. But
you,
if
you
got
those eunuchs over there,
if
oh,
you
yeah.
bragged
yeah,
about on. The other guys, then you'd have your head chopped off, that's all. Because, you know, the guys, the kings, the men with the power tend to want to keep the women for themselves, and they don't, you know, they don't want to give women the sexual freedom they give themselves.
It's infuriating.
And in fact, in early Egypt, they used to sell blowjob lips. You bought them, they would, you know, you would take them and
yeah.
you would mark your dick with them.
Is that right?
Right.
Well,
you didn't know about that?
You could just put lipstick on
your dick. No, it was Doc Johnson.
Mm. Or you could have some eunuch kiss your dick.
What is that sound?
Do you have a dog over there?
My dog, he's barking.
He's getting excited?
Is he hearing about all these blowjobs?
Wow. All right. I think we're about done. Are we done? Are we?
We're at 2 minutes.
Two more minutes. Okay. So, has this inspired you to read the Bible, Kyle?
I'm a non-practicing Catholic kind of. You know, I'm Catholic, but I don't really
are
do
you,
any of that anymore.
Are you lapsed?
Are you a lapsed Catholic?
Yeah.
That's the best way to read the Bible. You shouldn't read the Bible if you believe in it. That's
yeah.
ridiculous.
When
if you believe in it,
yeah,
it's just all confusing
everything.
And
you know what made me
want to
read the Bible?
Yeah.
The movie Dogma made me want to pick up the Bible just for reference almost, just to check it out. Like, what's this all about?
Now, see, I was...
It's one of the most important pieces. I mean, it's probably the most important piece of literature
it is.
In Western culture. And it's most of it is very boring. That's one thing. You have to keep in mind that most of the Bible is just lists of people's names, people who begat other people. And that's it. And it's very boring. And then there's a bunch of laws that make no sense about, you know, wearing different colors. And then there's some interesting stuff. You know, there's some stories in the Bible that are very interesting.
There's some great stories in the Bible.
Yep. So,
well,
here we are recommending that people read the Bible.
But we recommend you read it. The irony of that is not lost on our audience.
No, well, here's the thing, is we don't recommend that you believe that it is true, okay? We don't recommend that you read it like it is science. It is not science. It is not...
You need to approach it from a literary standpoint.
Literary. It's metaphorical. It's stories to inspire and to explain and
to make you think.
You know, there might be some shreds of truth to
it. Well, I am going to smite our audience.
There's a shred of truth. You're going to shred us. Yes, we're going to smite this Skype cast now.
And kill all the listeners.
Now they're all leaving.
Just sad to.
So we're going to go. We're going to probably be back tomorrow.
We're going to be back tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, 11 p.m., 11 o'clock
Such
p.m.
Such is the idea. And then
and that's
Purim
Pacific
is the 22nd Standard of March.
Time. Right, right.
We're calling all belly dancers to join us.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll talk to you later, Kyle. Thanks for joining us.
Bye, Kyle.
My pleasure.
Mon plaisir. Okay. So thank you, Sister Terry and Brother Dave.
Of course.
And thank you all out there in Radio Land. We want you to be good, be happy. Try not to smite anybody.
Try your best.
And if you're going to give a banquet, you know, include blowjobs. It always makes everybody happy. And then, you know, tit for tat. Okay?
Tit for tat.
Tit for tat. Yeah, the girls should get some too.
Right.
Everybody should eat everybody else. It should be a big banquet where you're eating each other. Just eating each other up. Delicious. And, of course, you know, these days we have to tell you to use dental dams.
Or penis sauce.
penis sauce.
Right.
Or penis sauce.
Right.
We're working on formulas. Formulas. For
yeah.
Penis sauce.
Penis sauce and, let's see, instead of ketchup, cockship?
Cockship?
Cocktail. Cocksup. Cocktail. Cocktail. How about something called cocktail that you...
Cocktail sauce.
Cocktail sauce.
Cocktail sauce.
Right.
Cocktail sauce.
Put some of that on your thing.
Sounds like it stings, though. I don't know.
Should we call the ranch?
Okay. Ranch. So, make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you.
You've been listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web, revolutionary and evolutionary radio that comes from our house to your house, and thank you for inviting us into your house. Unlike our military or other people, we don't knock down your doors with tanks. You have to pay us to come in. Thank you for your love, and we'll see you again tomorrow night. And for a while, I'm going to play you our new show. So listen up.
These are the versions.
Listen to this, Susan.
Very nice. Let's have another picture with the narrator and the king and the virgins here. Wait. Oh.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web, and we are playing a pre-recorded show for you.
All right, Virgin,
hang out or go away, and
go
we'll see you tomorrow night at your house.
We're good. Just hang out in the harem here. You're now part of the harem. All right, now we're going to meet some very important characters in